WHO has been assessing this outbreak around the clock, and we're deeply concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming levels of inaction. We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
Listening to the Travel Horror Stories podcast, a show that listens to real stories from travel bloggers and travelers just like you. Then we unpack those stories to discuss safety tricks, prevention treats, horror hacks, and follow-up tactics. The goal is to turn travel nightmares into dreams of beaches, sunshine, and margaritas.
This podcast is brought to you by the Toronto Bloggers Collective, a Facebook community for bloggers and content creators who are either from Toronto or currently living in Toronto and the surrounding area. It's a space to support colleagues in the industry with information, as well as engaging with each other's content with regular meetups and sponsored events. If you're from the Toronto area and create content, visit the link in the show notes and join the group.
And now live from the Rudderless Travel Studio in downtown Toronto, Canada, here's your host, Christopher Rudder.
So the weather outside it's cloudy, it's cold. We are recording this episode in May, and right now we are in the middle of May. So all I got to say is, what the f***? We should be enjoying summer. I mean, this should be patio weather right now. But as I've said before, the bars, the patios, the parks, everything is closed. We've made some progress. We're at a point now, as I record this episode, where businesses are slowly starting to reopen. We're far from being like how it used to be, but we're at least starting to get outside. Now, if you've been listening to the previous episodes, I had to change a lot of my plans. I was literally planning on launching this podcast on October 31st of this year. With the word horror in the title, I thought I'd have some fun and release it on Halloween. But then COVID-19 happened, which sort of, forced me to reorganize the episodes, and a lot of what I've recorded, had to be pushed back. And then I immediately dived into episodes that pertain to COVID-19 and travel. And then COVID-19 became the ultimate travel horror story because, borders closed, flights were grounded, people were scrambling to get back home. As expected, a ton of my friends and travel content creators around the world had stories to tell. So I immediately launched into talking about those stories instead. So if you've been listening to the past couple of episodes, you've been listening to some stories of some of my friends and travel content creators, their crazy stories of trying to get back home from wherever they were. So I've invited some of those previous guests back so we can have a little roundtable panel discussion, just to further discuss everyone's, crazy stories and what we learned from this experience and just to kind of put it all on the table and talk it out, as it were. So, without further ado, let's jump right in. Thank you guys for coming on the show. It's so amazing to have all you guys here. You guys are all fantastic. You guys are amazing. So how are you guys enjoying quarantine life? How are you guys finding your isolation? Are you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. Love it. No, actually, you know what? After the 14 days, initial 14 days, I think I'm okay now. Mm-hmm. It's that for me, the 14 days was more of just like, oh my God, do I have it? Do I not? Like, because I was reading so many different things, and like every time I would hear a story, someone say, oh, this is what happened to me, I could start feeling symptoms. So, you know, I'd go to bed every night thinking, okay, I'm okay. But then, like, you know, every time I was reading it, people would wake up in the middle of the night with the sweats and stuff. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to bed, but am I going to wake up or sick and stuff? So once the 14 days passed and I wasn't fearing that I would wake up sick, I'm actually enjoying it. Like, it's not that much different from, you know, other times. Like, I'm pretty much at home anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the exact same way. Like, every single time I need to go out to get groceries or go into Shoppers Drug Mart or something, and then when I come back home, I'm like, I'm sick now. I feel sick. What's happening? My heart, what's happening? Am I okay? Like, I just feel that, I don't know, like, I'm ready to get sick or something like that. Like, it's just weird. Yeah. How are you guys, what are you guys doing to keep yourselves busy?
Running.
Running? Nice. Running. But you're up north, so you have a lot of space up there, eh?
I love being isolated. I live for this. Nothing changed. I see the same amount of people, zero. Same amount of dogs, one. Nothing changed. I love it. Welcome to my lifestyle, guys.
I think do you lean more introverted?
I live in the forest.
Oh, so. Okay. That's perfect.
Oh, you're like Laura.
Yeah. I also live in a forest, and it's conflicting. I really do like the, like, you know, being in nature and like isolation, but I guess I've always mixed that in my life with like going to see people, and man, I miss people a lot.
Yeah. I don't have that problem.
I hear you.
This is interaction.
That's crazy. So let's go around the table and just introduce yourself, introduce your blog, and then let's start there. So that way everyone who's listening could hear people's voices and know who's talking, because there's all kinds of voices going all over the place. So let's start with you, Kasia.
Okay, so I'm Kasia. My blog is Kasia Writes, and it's a travel blog mainly focusing on cultural travel.
Awesome. Laura?
Yeah, I'm Laura. My blog is Explore with Laura, and it is an adventure, solo female adventure travel blog focused on diving, hiking, and wildlife encounters.
Awesome. And Andy?
My name is Andy. I also have a travel blog. It's called Avrex Travel. It's AVREX. It's just a bunch of letters of my name. So it's Avrex Travel, and I'm concentrating mostly on one-week trip itineraries.
Awesome. And Kim?
My name is Kim Davies. I also have a travel blog. It's called walkaboot.ca. I do active adventure travel in remote destinations. Long-term, slow travel. I'm not busy.
Awesome. And yeah, so we're all pretty much dying right now because we're all travel blogs.
Yep.
Yeah. Everyone's traffic is completely in the shit, right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. So you guys were all someplace else when things were starting to get really heated, from the sense of, because things are changing pretty much hourly. And so what do you guys think you guys, how were you guys feeling during that time while you guys were away? Like, what were your thoughts? Because you guys actually weren't in Canada. So what were your thoughts around that?
Who do you want to start?
All right, let's start with you.
I was in Peru. I don't know if you've seen it on the news. I felt absolutely secure and fine because up until March 15th, nothing was happening in Peru. It was super normal. I crossed the border into Bolivia twice, once on the 12th and once on the 14th. There wasn't even a corona sign. I flew on the 15th, no corona signs. We landed on the 15th. I went to Popeye's Louisiana Chicken in Lima for dinner. And then we went and saw a movie in the theater because they're in English in Lima. And then I went to bed. I woke up and the whole country had gone to shit.
Oh my
god! Great! Until the 16th.
Wow. And Andy, you were in Mexico, no?
No, I was in the Azores Islands of Portugal.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And for me, it was more just, you're kind of always aware of the news. It was in the background. So I guess there was always a little bit of tension. You know, could always feel a bit of tension. You're kind of worried and wondering, but travel continued as I could.
Yeah, exactly. And Kasia and Laura, you guys are in Catania, no? At least, well, Italy.
Yeah, we were in Italy. So I know I'll let Laura explain her story, but I wasn't feeling nervous. It was more of a bit of an annoyance because there were so many different things coming in different places. Like we would go online and look, people saying, oh, everything's deserted, Rome's deserted. And we were actually walking around and there were people around, like there wasn't anything going on. And then, you know, there was the whole shutdown of museums, which was okay. But then it was, you know, I just found there was a lot of people sort of panicking and people sort of who were not there telling me what they felt was happening, which was sort of like, no, like I'm here. I can, I'm gauging what's happening. I don't need someone else to tell me who's not even here. So for me, it was just sort of like, okay, like I just deal with it one day at a time. But then things really changed when I was on the train from Rome to Catania, because we were traveling the day after, the day before we were traveling to Catania, they were going to do a lockdown of the northern provinces, but that leaked the news. So I didn't find out about this till I was on the train. I think actually, Laura, I think you messaged me saying that. So yeah. All these people supposedly left the north and, you know, there was this mass exodus that was kind of starting to feel panicky, but like I was on the train by myself and it was just sort of like, okay. So then there was, again, lots of information coming and it was just like, well, there's not much I can do on the train. So I think for me, it was just a frustration with like just so many different points of views coming from people who are not there and just sort of, you know, unable to do anything. Like I'm on a train, like I can't really do anything. And even when the shutdown announcement came, I was still on the train. Like I was almost in Catania. So I was on the phone with my husband. He's like, well, you should call your credit card company. I'm like, well, how am I going to call my credit card company right now where I don't even know what's happening? You know, like they shut down the country, but what does that mean? Like, does it mean nobody can leave? Does it mean I can leave? Like, why am I going to call them? Like, it was just felt like, you know, I was getting all these messages from everybody saying, oh my God, you should get out. Like, are you okay? Which I appreciate, but it was just sort of adding to the unknown of what was happening. And it was just sort of like, okay, like everybody needs to calm down because I don't know the answers yet. So with, you know, with that going all around, I think everything else seemed okay for me. Even just, you know, the whole experience of being in Italy didn't seem extreme, but then after we left, the numbers started going, you know, high, but very fast. So, you know, it would be different if we were there at that time. But I think just before that happened, that was just sort of my experience.
So it's a mixture of misinformation or people just giving the wrong information or presenting that it's more serious than what it actually is.
I don't even think it's more serious than it is. I just think people who are not there, they were sending messages or people were posting things that were not necessarily true. And it was sort of difficult to make, well, that wasn't really that difficult, but it was just more frustrating because I was getting messages and they're like, oh, it's this and that. And in my experience being on the ground was very different.
Right. And where were you, Laura, at that point?
Well, I had like multiple exits, I guess. Like the first one was in Italy I was there with Kasia and I agree. Like it was super confusing because we found out that TBEX was canceled like 2 days before I was like set to depart. And it was just like, there was no, like at that point we only knew that it was like in the very northern regions of Italy and we were going to Sicily. And all the information for Sicily was basically said like, you know, everything's like business as usual, couldn't get any refunds from the hotels. And then, so we were like, okay, we'll continue with the trip. And then, yeah, when we got there, it kind of felt like things were normal. And I was like, oh, I'm really glad I came. And yeah, until like, basically there was like a press conference, like 3 days into my trip. And I was told like the entire country is going to lockdown and I had to leave. And I was really worried, like it was confusing because I was supposed to stay in Europe for like 5 months. So I didn't want to just like immediately go back to Canada because I was just trying to like gather the information about what was happening. So I went, ended up going to France. And in France, like it was so normal there. Like you would never know that this was happening, like stepping out on the street. But yeah, like it's like you were, so many people from home were messaging me being like, you have to get back, you have to get back. And then the information just like escalated every day. And then like, our prime minister was like, okay, Canadians from abroad should come home. So that was kind of like, for me, like, okay, maybe I should go back.
Right. Okay. So then for all of you, at what point did it start to become, okay, you know what, like, I'm starting to get nervous now. Because it seems to be generally between all of you, it seems to be the same, where it's just kind of like everybody's, you know, business as usual. Everything's chill. Everything's okay. And there's no real alarm. So at what point did you guys really start to feel, you know what, I think, you know, this is starting to get troublesome?
March 16th.
She has the exact date.
Actually, I've got a date too, Chris.
Wow. Okay.
That's because right. In Peru is crazy because they acted more extreme than any other place in the world, and it came out of left field. So in Peru, there was no sign of corona anywhere. It was business. There was not even like rumors or rumbling of it. Like there's no toilet paper missing. There's just nothing. And then on the night of March 15th, the president decided that he was going to put this country on lockdown. And then we woke up on the 16th and they're like, if you don't get out by midnight, you cannot leave. They weren't bringing any Peruvians home and they weren't letting any foreigners out. So if you were there on the 16th and then you were there on the 16th, it was like a mad scramble. Everyone was up trying to like, I have never seen so many like 25 to 40 year olds on the phone with their parents. Wow. You're like, help me get home. But you couldn't because the flights, as soon as they canceled Peru, all the airlines stopped, they canceled all of their flights. And the only flights that were available, they were selling them for like $5,000. And even if they, FYI, flights to Peru or one way usually cost about $600. But the problem was, is like, even if you were willing to spend $5,000, by the time you got to the process of booking it, it wasn't available. So that's like one of the reasons why Peru was always was all over the news, because they were like, you know what, you can't leave. So even if you want to leave, you can't. So Canada ended up repatriating us, right? We flew out of a military base to get home because there's no land, air, sea travel wasn't available as of the 16th. People who were in Lima were allowed to access taxis, but people who were in any other city, including Arequipa and Cusco, taxis shut down, so you couldn't take a taxi to anywhere. Like, wherever you were, you were. And it all happened immediately. So instead of, like, having, like, some kind of rumbling in the forest, yeah. Or maybe if the president was like, you guys have a week to get home, or maybe 3 days, anything more than 12 hours. But yeah, so all the countries had to repatriate. So basically, I think the last one's still there, kind of Australia, and they've repatriated them last week. So,
wow.
It's crazy.
And you have a date, Andy.
Yeah, I distinctly remember this. It's March 14th. So at that time, Trudeau made the announcement, if you remember it. He says, come home while you still can. And it just kind of hit me, right?
Starting Wednesday, March 18th, only 4 Canadian airports will be accepting international flights. Toronto Pearson, Montreal Trudeau, Vancouver International Airport, and Calgary International Airport. I want to remind all Canadians that they should avoid non-essential travel outside of our country until further notice. Canadian travelers should return to Canada via commercial means while it is still possible to do so. Let me be clear. If you're abroad, it's time for you to come home.
And even then, there was no COVID-19 cases on the Azores Islands, but you could see things were escalating. And then that announcement from Trudeau was pretty much it. Then I knew I had to start scrambling.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And what about you guys, Laura, Kasia?
Yeah, the Prime Minister announcement was definitely, I guess it was that whole week, like, that I was in France. I think on like March 11th, which was like a few days after I left Italy, it was declared a pandemic. So that was definitely like, you know, something to think about. And then I think, yeah, March 14th, it was like Canadians come home, and then just like the increase and just seeing it kind of like explode all over the world and people scrambling to get back. So yeah, it just like kind of built up throughout the week, and I knew I had to get back. I was worried about like there just being like no possibility to get back.
Right.
But thankfully Europe was a lot more chill than Peru.
Yeah, sounds like it. It's crazy. And where were you, Kasia, around that time when you heard the Prime Minister?
I was in, well, when you mean Trudeau, I was home already. Made the announcement right after I got home. So for me, it wasn't necessarily, actually the whole time I never really felt worried, to tell you the truth. Like I wasn't panicking or being afraid. Like I have family in Italy. So if anything came down to it, I knew I had, you know, I could go somewhere. And I don't know, I feel that I've made really good decisions when I needed to. And all the years of, you know, having to make decisions in high pressure situations came in handy. And I think I did okay. I don't think I would have liked to experience it again by all means, but it wasn't as of a panic thing for me, and it wasn't, you know, that big of a stressor for me. It was just sort of, okay, this sucks, I need to get out. So I booked the first ticket I could find, got out, and that was it.
All right, so let's talk in retrospect then. And it might be difficult to answer these questions because, you know, I think no one actually really knows what to do or what's going on. So what do you guys think that you guys did okay in your decision making?
You know what? My world kind of naturally worked for me because, so I was in Bolivia. I just popped over to Bolivia to go to the other side of Lake Titicaca, which is only 2 hours away from Puno in Peru. So on the 14th, when the Prime Minister made the decision.
Let's not talk about him, please.
So when he made the decision to the Canadians should come home, I was actually on my way to Peru that day, and I had booked flights to Lima that landed on the 15th from Puno. So in retrospect, it all kind of worked out for me because I ended up being in Lima, which is the place where you had to fly out of. If we had time to book flights, it would have worked out probably pretty good for me, naturally, versus the people who didn't make it to Lima. They had to be boated and bused by the country to Lima. So that could have been, you know, like a 40-hour bus ride for some people. If I would have stayed in Puno for one more day, I would have had to been on like a 40-hour bus to Lima like 3 weeks after I actually left. So It all worked out pretty well for me. I ended up being in Lima, got the first flight home.
Perfect. Wow. All right. And Andy, what do you think you did okay?
I think what I did right was the contingency planning. So I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I brought enough medication, even though it was only a 2-week trip, I brought enough medication for 2 months and I had my N95 mask with me just in case we were stuck there for a while and stuff like that. And the other good thing was just constantly watching the news, like looking for what was going on. And that includes listening to the locals. The locals actually ended up having some great information on how things were changing and what things were shutting down. So those are good things for me.
Awesome. And Kasia, because you kind of alluded to it already, but you were already kind of on your way out. So what decisions are you proud of that you made?
I think I'm proud that I didn't panic. None of it was, you know, easy for anybody or expected. But I had to go through a process of elimination, like, you know, where to go. So originally my flight was booked from Toronto to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Rome, and then going home the same way back. So now I'm in Catania and I had to find a way out of here. So I had to find, you know, best way to get home. So we're all sitting around the table trying to figure out where to go, which countries were the best. So I try to look at different places, you know, where would I go? It wasn't so much of a place where would I'd like to go, but what's the easiest way to get home? What has a direct flight to Toronto? You know, what has a direct flight from Catania? So I went through different options, but then it really, Amsterdam made the most sense for me because A, I flew through Amsterdam and I flew with KLM. So I knew that KLM, I can just go to the airport and ask them to rebook my flight. So for that, it was honestly like less than a 5-minute decision for me. And I booked Amsterdam. It was a fairly cheap flight. And yeah, that was a quick thinking on my part. And I'm really happy I was able to do that.
Excellent. And Laura?
I feel the opposite. I made many. Well, I don't.
We'll get to that in a second. But
Oh, so you just want to know the things that I think I did right?
Yes.
Oh.
Because you see, the purpose of the podcast is to promote travel. So we want to talk about things that are bad that happen, but we still want to talk about the good things that come out of that and what we could have done differently. So that way people walk away with like, okay, so, you know, if this kind of thing happens, I can do this, or it's good that I do this, or you know what I mean? So if you don't have anything, we can pass you. That's okay.
No, I do have one thing. okay, because in the end, when I decided to go back, you know, obviously airlines were just like gouging customers and flights were super expensive. And I ended up buying an Aeroplan flight that didn't ticket on time. So when I went to the airport, they didn't have like, I didn't actually have a ticket. I didn't realize. I just had like the itinerary through Aeroplan. And it was like impossible to get through to Aeroplan because of the high call volumes. So I randomly posted in this points group that I'm in on Facebook for like travel hacking, which I've never posted in before. But because of that, all these people were trying to help me. And this one amazing human gave me their like elite, whatever status with Aeroplan. Like they're so that way when I punch that number in, when I call, it puts me in like priority queue. So wow. I was actually able to get a hold of them. So yeah, that was like the best thing that happened in the whole situation. So I'd say just like utilize like resources, like travel groups and stuff.
Yeah, I love that's that. Brilliant. That's actually brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. So then
I got one thing to add too. This is important for me.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anyone has read about the hostel issue in Peru where the Canadians are trapped for 28 days.
Oh, no. Gosh.
No. So basically they, if you're staying in hostels, they kind of got really, really strict, really, really fast on that one day, the 16th. And it ended up being to the point where some people, there's a hostel in Cusco where somebody ended up having coronavirus in the hostel, and what happened was they ended up closing down the hostel. So all the people, there's 120 of them I think that were staying there, are not allowed to leave.
Oh, gosh.
Until 1 month, until these coronavirus people are cured or quarantined. Wow. So when I was there, I was in a hostel because that's how I like to travel. And the first day, everyone seemed pretty okay. They're like, we're going to party for 2 weeks. But that quickly turned into Lord of the Flies. Really, really quickly.
Wow.
And people were just, there was a lot of fear mongering and all these rumors spread. And the hostel couldn't handle what was happening to it. So they did end up changing the rules. And then they were saying, like, if you're in a 12-bed dorm, you have to stay in your 12-bed dorm all day. If you want to eat, you have to go to the downstairs, order their food. They bring it to your room. You have to eat it in your room. So you weren't allowed to leave. It was like military guarded and whatnot. So the day that I saw Lord of the Flies happening, I quickly booked an Airbnb and got out of there before everything went down. So it was like the smartest thing that I could have done was like get to a place where I could cook, where I could have my own space, and where I wasn't going to be locked into a 12-bed dorm with 12 people who eat, sleep, and live there for the entire time.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That is brilliant. I would die to be with people like for that long. Like,
it was bad. They tried to have like the kitchen open, but of course, what do you do when there's like 140? This is a 15-story hostel. So what do you do in 15 stories of dorm rooms all try to panic and COVID grocery shop at the same time and then cook in the kitchen? It's so gross that they closed it down, and then it was gross. It was so bad. So Airbnb. Thank you. I even left the neighborhood. I'm like, screw the tourist district. I'm out of here. I'm going to go. I'm out of here.
Wow, wicked. Oh my gosh. Okay.
This segment is brought to you by GPS My City. Do you love exploring cities on foot at your own pace? Well, GPS My City's mobile apps, available on iOS and Android, feature self-guided city walks and GPS-powered travel articles written by travel bloggers and travel content creators for over 1,000 cities worldwide. Visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's break this down.
So what do you guys feel that you did wrong and that you could have done differently, Laura?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. We'll just start like with my first country escape in Italy. Like, it's so hard, like, because we didn't know, like, you know, the information was just dropped on us. We were basically told to go like as soon as we could, and like I said, I was planning to travel Europe. So the first mistake I made was I booked a flight to Malta, which is like an island, so of course they like closed themselves off to Italy the next day. So that flight got canceled, and then I booked another flight with Alitalia, which also got canceled because they're a crappy airline that will still not refund me for the flight that they canceled. So I don't know, don't buy them. And yeah, just like, it's really hard in those situations. Like, I really don't do well under pressure. I never have. And it's like, I just kept kind of, I don't know, I kept buying flights that like didn't work out. I don't know if that's just like bad luck or just like bad decision making. But yeah, I think just like, being like taking the time to like work through your decisions and like really thinking about like what the best thing to do is, maybe talking to someone who's like more sensible. Cause I get really like worked up in my head and I just like, I'm just like, I need to get out. And I was like, buy something that doesn't really make sense. And then I've just like ended up wasting more money.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear that. And we could all panic like that. I mean, that's what, while you guys are dealing with all that, all the stores are being robbed of toilet paper and water. So, I mean, you know, trust me, it was panic going mad around in Toronto for sure. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the thing about Aeroplan. Make sure that you leave 48 hours for your Aeroplan flight to ticket, because I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah. Well, lots of things we learned there. That's for sure. Yeah. You know. Yeah, wow. You know, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I do want the listeners to learn from you guys' experiences, and there's nobody better to learn from the travel bloggers who deal with this stuff on a regular basis. All right, so Cash, is there anything that you think that you would have done differently, or anything that you learned from this experience?
I mean, I don't think there was anything else for me to do differently, because I mean, I wish I could have stayed in Rome, because we were going down to Sicily for this conference that, well, it was not much any conference anymore, but they were still organizing things, right? So every day there was they were revamping everything. I mean, they were trying their best, but it was becoming really frustrating because there was so many people in the chat and you couldn't figure out what was going on. And at that point, I thought, okay, so is this still happening or not? So I was actually going to come back to Rome from Catania earlier than I was supposed to. And then on my way there, obviously things changed. So I left Catania the next day. So it wasn't really that much of a difference. I still would have to leave Rome to go home. So it would have been fine. But the best thing I think I did was when the conference was actually postponed or canceled, it was 4 days before my flight. So I called my credit card, and because I do have travel insurance and travel interruption. And because Canada at that point didn't have restrictions about Italy, especially the parts where I was going, they were not able to refund me my money. So I was like, okay, might as well go. That's pretty much the only reason I went, because I couldn't get a refund. And then my hotel's already, you know, the cancellation deadline has passed because the organizers were, I think, taking a bit too long to make a decision. So by the time they made a decision, you know, your ability to cancel your accommodations already passed. So now, again, because it was not in an area that was restricted, the credit card wouldn't refund me the money. So what happened was, when I got to Catania, I had, I think, for like 4 days paid there, 4 or 5 days. So I, as soon as I booked my flight out, I messaged them. I said, look, I'm leaving the next day. So bookings then changed their policies. So they were going to refund me, I don't know, like a big chunk of it, but there was still a cost that they charge like a cancellation fee. Mm-hmm. So what happened was, I filled up a claim with my credit card when I came back. So I'm claiming that cancellation fee and the flight from Catania to Amsterdam, and hopefully they'll cover that because it was interrupted, right? It wasn't what I planned for. And then my flight with KLM was, they didn't charge me to rebook it. But I also wanted to know that, you know, let's say I went to Italy and something happened to me, you know, be that I caught coronavirus or like I broke my leg or something that was unrelated, would I be still covered? And because, again, there were no restrictions, they said, yes, I would be covered. So anything that happened to me would have been covered. So that also gave me some peace of mind going to a country, knowing that, you know, if anything happened, the coverage is there. They're not gonna stop it or whatever because of whatever happens. So I felt confident going, knowing that, you know, if anything happened, they would cover it. And that made me feel better about the whole situation.
Awesome. Andy, anything that you learned from this experience, or that you would have done differently, or that you, that you would have done differently?
Oh, yeah. Like, I guess, even though I was good in planning contingencies, maybe I was a bit too optimistic going into it. I was a little surprised by the spread, and more importantly, the shutdowns of things. So that surprised me. As far as what I would do differently, I think what I'll describe is, make sure you have an escape hatch, and I'll tell you what that means. So I was in the Azores Island, and it was a 2-week trip, 1 week on the main island, and then another week on two smaller islands. Well, I think I did them in the wrong order. The international airport's on the main island, so we did that island first. Then we went off to the little islands. And by the time, you know, things really got bad, we were like a ferry ride, car ride, plane ride back to the main airport. So yeah, we should have reversed the itinerary and did the smaller islands first. So in other words, once again, always be close, always have an escape hatch.
Good to know. But I mean, in that particular situation, I mean, like, it's difficult to predict that's going to happen. I mean, you just did it in whatever order, right? Like, it's true. It's not like you were planning in case there's a pandemic, right?
So no, but it was always in the background, so I was kind of aware of it. And yeah, you're right.
Fair enough. Kim, what do you think you did? What would you do differently if you could, or what did you learn from this?
I left Canada January 1st. So I was pretty far removed from the whole situation the whole time. Like, I never witnessed any of the toilet paper, grocery shopping craze. And also that last 2 weeks, I was hiking in Colca Canyon. And then I was on Isla del Sol in Bolivia for a while, and there's just not that much internet there. So I was pretty far removed from all the things that were happening. I honestly don't think that I really could have done that much different. Like, I did somehow, the universe led me to get to Lima, but that was just a crazy random happenstance. I had nothing to do with anything, but honestly, like, there is a reason. I keep telling people this because people obviously keep asking me that. Like, there is a reason there was so many Canadians stuck in Peru. Like, there's a reason that, like, we were just so far removed from everything, and it all happened so fast. Like, there was nothing anyone could have really, really, really done. I think that's one of the reasons it's in the news. Like, well, we have 5,000 Canadians just hanging out in Lima right now.
Did you say 5,000?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We've already done 6 repatriation flights of 400 seats on each flight. Wow. And then there's still more to come in the next week.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So yeah, it's great. I mean, noted, we really had to pay a ton of money for our repatriation flights. FYI. People seem to think that we also got those flights for free.
What? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, what are you looking at with that cost?
$1,400. The regular price again is $600. So the $1,408 is what they charged each and everyone. So I'm like, I was there with G. So like, we only had 2 people, but there are lots of Canadian families that were there, you know, with like the 3 kids, and that price adds up.
But again,
like, there's a reason. I think Morocco and Peru were like the 2 countries that were like, just because there was nothing to do. Like, it was just all, it all happened so fast that everyone got stuck. So at least I wasn't alone. 5,000 friends.
that's a little bit mad. Oh my gosh. Wow. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing your feedback. I think that's fantastic. I think that I'm really glad that you guys are all back home, that you're all safe. You have a question, Kim?
You're putting up your head. I do. Okay, I have a question. Sorry. I have a question for everybody.
Sure.
Did anybody have a chance to visit the Canadian embassies in the country they're staying at when they were trying to get home? And what was that question. Like?
I'll answer quickly. We were on a couple standby flights, and I quickly found that there was a Canadian consulate on the island, on the main island of that. So if the standby didn't work, I was going there the next day. So yes.
Anyone else?
I did not.
No, me neither.
This trip. I have been to the Canadian Embassy before for another horror story.
The Canadian Embassy in Lima was a literal Canadian party. It was insane. There were so many Canadians that were stuck there. Like, one day, G and I were just trying to like leave the house. So we walked down there, and there's just a line, like an entire block line of Canadians. And I made some kind of Canadian joke, and then I mentioned Great Big Sea. These people were like singing "Ordinary Day." I was like, "Wow, Canada!"
That's awesome.
Hey guys, but it was insane. Our embassy in Lima, like the day that we left, the line of Canadians like went all the way 3 sides around the block. It was just a bunch of Canadians, just like not social distancing at all in the slightest, but partying.
Oh my gosh. You know, actually, that wouldn't be too bad, to be honest. We wouldn't have any of our Canadian stuff like maple syrup or anything like that, but you know, it would still be cool.
But there's a lot of Canadian jokes, so I just wonder, like, what was going on the embassy like at all the other countries, and were they there to help? Like, were they helpful?
I don't know. I've never visited any of the Canadian embassies anywhere else, to be honest, because I never needed to.
Yeah,
I would always make sure I sort of know where they are, though. But that I would never really. I just like to know. I think because of when my iPhone got stolen in Paris. I think from that day on, I was kind of like, where the hell is a Canadian embassy? Because Yeah, like it's not like they could have done anything, but from then on, I've always kind of like, where is it? Just so I know. You know what I mean? Because I mean, that was just my phone getting stolen, but what if something else happened? Like, I was kind of like, where are they? You know?
Yeah.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for being on the show. Can you guys just quickly, well, I'll call you guys out, and then you guys can give your website address and where people can find you. I'll put it in the show notes anyways, but you know, just in case anybody's, I guess nobody would really be on a treadmill listening to this podcast because all the gyms are closed. Let's just say you're doing dishes listening to the podcast. Okay, how about that? Laura, where can people find you?
You can find me at explorewithlaura.com, but Laura is spelled L-O-R-A. And then on any social media, it is the same handle, @explorewithlaura.
Awesome. Kesha.
There we go. So you can find me at Kasia Writes. It's spelled K-A-S-I-A and Writes, W-R-I-T-E-S.com. And that's pretty much my handle on all social as well, Kasia Writes.
Awesome. Andy?
It's Avrex Travel. I'll spell that for you. It's A-V-R-E-X-Travel.com. That's my blog and same on social media. Thanks for having us, Chris.
Awesome. And Kim?
You can find me at Walkaboot Travel, like Walkaboot, the Canadian accent joke. www.walkaboot.ca. Social media channels are all the same, except for now I'm on TikTok doing funny dances at Kimberly Aaron D.
Thank you so much for being on the show, guys. You guys are awesome.
Thanks for having us.
All right, case closed. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can listen to the show over at www.travelhorrorstoriespodcast.com. And if you're listening on your mobile device, please take a second to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It really helps the show and its episodes get discovered by more people. Plus, your feedback will help me tweak and change the show to make it the best show on the internet. Yes. I'll catch you next week. Cheers.